Greetings, everyone. This is Pastor Mike, and I'm at home in one of the upstairs rooms of my house with my Bible open to Matthew chapter 28, where it says in verse 16, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" What does it mean to be called? That word, that concept, has become part of our Christianese language, if you would. Now, in the military, a person receives orders, and those orders constitute a call to duty. To answer the call is to obey those orders. It's a call to action, a call to service. I find that often in the church, however, we apply the idea of call very differently. I hear phrases like, and I'll have to admit that I've probably heard this coming out of my own mouth, when I say, "I feel called to this activity," or "I don't really feel called to that." How often do we connect the call of God to our subjective feelings? It's me trying to discern God's will based on my feelings and emotions and reasoning. But to rightly understand my mission as a believer and our mission as the church, we have to first realize that God has already issued the orders. It's not now for us to discern whether those orders apply to me. They do. It's simply a question of, where will I be stationed? What will be my specific role? A missionary call, if you would, is not a special call for the few, for the special forces. I'm going to milk this military illustration for all it's worth. But there is a general obligation upon all believers to go and to proclaim the gospel throughout the world. That's what we just read in Matthew chapter 28. We don't need a special call to apply that general call to our lives. In fact, we would really require a special call to exempt us from our obligation to answer his call. I recently read an article by a man named Robert Speer, who wrote it towards the end of the 1800s. And as I read it, it was like a bucket of cold water being thrown in my face. He said this, that this whole business of asking for a special call to missionary work does violence to the Bible. There's the command: go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And we say, that means other people. But then we see the promise: come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And we say, that's for me. It's like we must have a special divine indication that we fall under the command, but we don't ask for any special divine indication that we fall under the blessing. By what right do we accept the privileges as applying to every Christian and relegate its obligations to the conscience of the few? Yow. James says that a man who seeks wisdom from God but does not ask in faith is double-minded and will be unstable in all his ways. That is, he asks not with the mind to obey what he hears, but when he hears, to weigh what he hears against what he feels and what he reasons. James says, let not that man expect that he will receive anything from God. So what do our orders say? Go, disciple nations, teach them to obey everything I have commanded. It's the apparent enormity of this call that tends to discourage us and make us think that this call cannot possibly apply to me. like Moses, who said, "I'm just an ineloquent shepherd. What will I say to Pharaoh that will make him set our people free?" Or Gideon, who said, "I'm the least of the least in all of Israel. Who am I to wage this battle against the Midianites?" Or speaking for myself, "I'm just a flaky jazz musician from the suburbs of California. Who am I to do anything?" But that's when God redefines who we are within the framework of who He is. He says, "You are my child. You are my church. Now go in the power that I will give to perform the mission that I have assigned to you." I love that in verse 17 of Matthew 28, that it says, when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. I'm not sure if I, until recently, noticed that, how they came and they beheld Jesus. They worshiped him, but it says that some doubted. But then Jesus speaks into their doubt, and he says that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now go. And he finally says that I will be with you even until the end of the age. God never calls anyone to do something for which he does not promise the power to accomplish that call. Each one of us is not commanded to take the entire world, but to go into all the world and bring God's presence. That word "go" means as you go or as you are going. It already assumes that we are going because we are. The question is, as we are going, are we making disciples? Are we on mission in the places where we are going? Seeing our circumstances in the context of mission is like putting glasses on that allow us to see the different spectrums of light. I could see before, but I couldn't differentiate the infrared and the violet and every detail of all the objects that I was already looking at. The church today is rediscovering both its identity and its mission. This is crucial in our day because God has no other plan to transform people, families, cities, and nations than through the church. You and I are called. We have received our orders. Now we must adjust our vision to see what God sees, not so that we can then become the church, but so that we might function as the church in a world that desperately needs Christ. So today, as we spend time in prayer, let's ask God to show us what it looks like to be on mission as we go in response to His call. Amen.